In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Jamel White promised at 11 o'clock. We're having some communication issues. We're working on them. So Jamel will be joining us just a couple of moments here. I'm Jeff Phelps, no Baskin today. Instead, Dan Menigan. So we're going to connect with Jamel and talk about preseason game number one that didn't go well, Dan. Your number two quarterback played just one series. It led to a score, so that was good. And then that was the first series of the game for the Browns. And then the last series of the game led to a score and nothing in between.
I take very little away from this. It didn't go well in the fact that poor Luke Whippler is done for the year, it sounds like. Yep. That's the part of it that...
Second quarter.
Because that's my whole goal with this. You know, and especially when it comes to preseason games, and is just walk out with very few injuries. Walk out with as few of injuries as possible. Ronnie Hickman left the game, it sounding like, with a leg injury as well. We'll keep you up to date on all that stuff. Kevin Stefanski spoke yesterday, speak today as well. At 1:30, you'll be able to hear that on your home of the Browns, 92.3 The Fan. So in that regard, it went fine to sub-fine because guys got banged up.
Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's a buddy of ours, friend of our show, and of course, former Browns running back, Mr. Jamel White joins us. Hi, Jamel.
How you been, Jamel?
What's going on?
Well, we're trying to look at a preseason game and take anything out of it that we can, but we thought, I wonder what players take out of preseason games. And before we get specific on the Browns, as a player, do you look at other players' individual performances? Do you look at a win? Do you look at a loss? Do you look at anything other than health?
Depends on where you're at. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a starter that's been there, obviously you want to get out of preseason healthy. But if you're a new guy who's just now coming into the NFL, the intent is a little bit different because now you're going against people who are at a different level now. You know what I mean? If you're already an established player, you already know what the NFL is about. You know, the preseason is one speed, and then when you get to the regular season, that turns into a different speed. So I guess to answer your question, as an individual, if I'm brand new to the game, in the NFL I'm talking about, I'm trying to go out and perform my best just so I could get into the rhythm of it.
So with that in mind, Jamel, if we were to, let's say, remove the preseason, which has been rumored a whole bunch, I know you would have those guys not being able to get those kind of reps. What kind of an effect do you think it would have on the early part of the NFL season just not having those preseason games?
Oh, that would destroy, at least my opinion, it would destroy what the NFL is trying to do for the players. I don't think players kind of understand it the way that I don't think fans understand it the way that I understand it. Like, for a guy like me who came out of a Division II school at the time, yeah, I was the better kid, the better player in the Division II school, but I don't know what I'm going to do when I get to the NFL, and these teams don't know what you're going to do. They're drafting you or taking you as an undrafted free agent to see what you're capable of. They know what you did in college, but they don't know what you're going to do against people like the best people allegedly in the world in football. So if you take away the preseason stuff, a guy like me who only could get evaluated in the preseason, and then as the season continued, get better, it kind of throws you to the side a little bit. So I don't think taking away preseason games is better for the players. I think ultimately, if you have an established player who the organization knows, because the organization already knows who they're going to keep and who they're not going to keep, they know what's in the back plans for, you know, trying to restructure contracts and all that stuff. They should sit those people out and let the people who's trying to get established go and play these preseason games.
Former Browns running back Jamel White with us, the running backs in preseason game number one. How about an uneventful performance, 2.7 yards per carry? Jamel, does that mean anything?
Nah, not really. I mean, you think about the nerves of the running backs, the offensive line, who they're going against. It's a different variable, you know, so that doesn't really mean a whole bunch. You can – this week you can average 2.5 yards. Next week you might average 10 yards. But they're taking this first preseason game and they're like, all right, well, this is not a good fit with this offensive lineman. These people need to play together. So then you start kind of putting people where they need to be. And then as the preseason goes, things start to work themselves out, establish themselves a little bit different. So I wouldn't look into that.
So, Jamel, as a running back in the league, you're seeing the Browns bringing in a new offensive coordinator, new running back coach, new offensive line coach. I mean, they're almost overhauling this offense. As a running back, how much of an impact does that have on what you do?
Well, again, that depends. So if you're not familiar with the offense, obviously there's got to be a learning curve, you know. And quarterbacks get the playbook way before anybody else gets them. So they have to be on top of it. So I think when you bring in a new whole offensive scheme, you got to give players the time to kind of figure it out. Now, you may be a player to where you came from an offense that's pretty similar to that one, and they just – their terms are different. And you can relate them back to what you're used to, which gives you an upper hand. But I think once you're trying to learn a new offense, especially for quarterbacks and for people who already have in their mind what they're used to, it's difficult, man. Like, it's really hard, and I don't think people understand that. When you are an NFL player, it's like going to college all over again because you're learning a big playbook, but during a game, you may only be using 6 of those plays or 10 of those plays. So it's different, man.
Jamel White joining us. Minnesota Vikings coming to town for practices. Did you do a lot of group practicing when you were in the NFL? And if so, what'd you think?
Oh, yeah. We practiced against the Bills. We practiced against Green Bay. So it was I like the group practices, man. And the reason why I like the group practices was because it was seeing somebody different that you didn't see during practice. You know what I mean? Like, you get to see and go against guys who are not necessarily like the people you're going to ride and die with. You know, those guys are like, all right, I could go out here, bang them up, and not have to worry about how that's going to affect our season. So I think it's always good to have joint practices if they're under control.
Well, the thing that always comes out with joint practices is all the fights. You know, we always hear about all the different fights that are taking place, everybody going head-to-head.
Which seems ridiculous.
Competitive juices get going. I mean, Andy's not here to get these stories out of you, so I feel like I got to ask him. You got a good one that wouldn't get you fired?
Oh, dude, let's see. I think it was my second year, and we had to go to Buffalo. And we had to practice, and I was still working through a lot of things, trying to get noticed and blah, 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 blah. And I believe Butch was the coach at that point. And the first day, it was different because we had one-on-one drills with Buffalo. That means, like, linebackers against running backs or whatever. And I was an in-between guy. So I played wide receiver and I played running back. Dude, the guys, when I lined up at running back, it was completely different than when I lined up at wide receiver, because the DBs would talk so crazy to me to where it was like, I was like, dude, are you actually talking to me like this? Like, I felt like a little kid. This dude MF'd me. He did this. And I'm just sitting up there like, is this what wide receivers really got to go through? I was literally getting cussed out. And then I had to go play running back, and the linebackers would just, I'll run out, they'll just grab me. And they're like, you ain't doing sh- today, little. And I was like, golly. And when I would fall, or like, so when we got into the game, we had like a little scrimmage the last day. And literally, this dude fell on top of me, poked me in my eyes. I was like, dude, this gotta stop.
What is this, the Three Stooges? You're getting poked in the eye now? What
the blazes? Dude, it was crazy. I was like, this ain't real. But yeah, man, they go to work, but I'm different. I ain't about to fight with nobody, man. I couldn't do it. I was just like, come on, man, this ain't real. And then they get really pissed off when you don't talk back. That just makes it worse.
Did you just run up against some ordinary guys, or is this typical?
No, it happened to me, so I'm thinking it's typical.
I mean, you couldn't be a nicer guy, Jamel.
Yeah, no kidding.
I just kept to myself. I don't say much. And this dude, they really wanted me to talk back. And then in the game, they was like, man, don't even talk to 30. He ain't going to say nothing to you. Let's talk to the quarterback, though. So then they just left me alone. I felt like, okay, well, some of the stuff I learned growing up is, I'm not messing with the bullies. So I just went on about my business. I got a ton of stories, man. It's crazy. But like I said, some guys, they like that, and that gets them hyped up to talk crazy. To me, I'm going to show you. I'm better showing you than I am telling you. So,
the caliber of work that a team gets against another team, pretty high level?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you got to think about it. Like, so now, that's like a preseason game over the course of a couple of days. You know, so I'm going to go and I'm going to put my best against your best, or however it stacks up when you do the drills. Like, I love doing the one-on-one drills. And I used to pick out the dudes I would go with, because I would switch with a running back in the line. Like, nah, I'm going to go with this dude. Because, like, when they used to talk to me, I'd be like, all right, I'll get you back this way. So I think it's a good thing, man, because you do get to see how certain people are going to perform if you didn't really have a good look at them before.
The always friendly Jamel White joining us. Thank you for your time, sir.
I need to thank, because I was out hiking with my friend's kid, who was 3 and is turning into a parrot on us, and I tripped over a stick and was about to drop a 4-letter word that I shouldn't, and then Jamel came into my head, and I went, oh, shucky ducky. To which then she walked around like, shucky ducky, shucky ducky. And I was like, all right, good, we're okay.
Nice job.
Hey, man, that's how you got to do it. If you ain't going to cuss, you got to get as close as you can to it without actually saying it. So it's all day for me.
So I'm who you want. Thank you, Jamel.
Sugar booger.
Right, no problem. All right, man, you guys have a good one.
Bye, Jamel.
Too, take care.
Jamel White, former Browns running back, sugar booger, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Did you learn anything from the first preseason game? There are a couple of things I did think. 216-474-0092 next on Baskin and Phelps.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
You know, it's like the rules at various places that everybody ends up breaking through various forms, such as the speed limit, where we all do five over it anyway.
Yeah.
It's posted, and it's basically like, oh, okay, that's there, so we know what to do five over of.
I do think there are a couple of things you can take out of the game, though, but not very many, if you want to know the truth. Like, we just asked Jamel, former NFL running back, running game, had 21 carries, 56 yards, 2.7. No one was good. Right. The guy who looked the best, if there is such a thing, John Kelly. Well, John's been here and cut 14 times.
Yeah.
At least, you know, so
yeah.
John's not a guy you're thinking about. Pierre Strong probably is. Jerome Ford is. He had only two carries. Deontay Foreman probably is. He didn't play in the game, and obviously coming back from his injury situation. The running game is not something I look at and take anything out of.
Right.
I do take something out of Jamari Thrash, young wide receiver from Louisville, but if you look a little deeper than that, he played five college seasons, the first four at Georgia State. And he was not the biggest guy, most productive guy, kind of developed at Georgia State. And then late in his career there, he had a good year, his senior year, and then transferred to Louisville and had a real solid year. And I read a scouting report. I mentioned this on the post-game show, and you can hear Tyvis Powell, me, and all of the interviews you need post-game after every Browns game on the Browns Radio Network. You can hear that right here on 92.3 The Fan. I thought it was an interesting scouting report because I love going back and reading draft profiles, what they thought of this guy before he got into the league. And it said about Thrash, all right, he's not the fastest. He doesn't have... His hands are pretty good. He doesn't separate great, blah, blah, blah. And it was all this. He's okay. This is all right. But, man, can this guy play? And I thought, you know what? That's really the most important thing. And it kind of poo-pooed everything that he did from, like, a skill standpoint. But it said the one thing that jumps out at you, man, can this guy play? And I thought, well, okay, that's great. And the Browns got him in the fifth round of this year's draft. Would be wonderful if they can find a guy in the fifth round at wide receiver who can actually play and contribute. Because is David Bell going to be that guy moving forward? I don't know. He was a third-round pick. Is Cedric Tillman the guy who's going to step up this year? I hope so.
Be nice.
I think Cedric might be the guy. But it's really nice that Jamari Thrash showed some things. He had three catches, led the team with 43 yards receiving.
You can never have enough productive wide receivers. And whether you decide to use them, you know, in almost like shifts that you would run into when it would come to the same way with like defensive linemen and how Jim Schwartz likes to use them, you know, Amari Cooper in there, Jerry Jeudy in there, and then being able to mix those guys in. I mean, you can never have enough pass catchers in a league that is so predicated on passing. So, yeah, I hope they have something in Jamari Thrash. It'll come out somehow. I hope they have something there. I hope they're able to develop these guys. I'd love to see Cedric Tillman find himself there. He's a big body wide receiver. They don't really have a big body wide receiver. You know, you've got a guy in Jerry Jeudy who's a little bit more of a fly route guy, can go down and make contested catches. You got a guy in Amari Cooper who, yeah, has some speed to him, but is more a precision route runner than anything else. it's nice to have a big body guy that you can have just kind of post up, for lack of better terminology, on the first, you know, at the first down line. So Cedric Tillman makes a ton of sense in that regard. You want all these different skill sets, and Thrash is another one of those skill sets. You want to be able to find multiple ways to score. You don't want to be just one thing and one thing only, or two things and two things only, because coaches can make two things disappear.
The quarterback play is tough to gauge in a preseason game. But we're going to try it anyway. Jameis Winston doesn't need a preseason game. I'm glad he came out and went down the field and got some points on the board, even though it was like a 9-play, 27-yard drive. I mean, it wasn't anything. Jameis is a pro. He's been around a long time. He's one of the better, if he's going to be, backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
It sounds bad. Jameis Winston is a known quantity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing that Jameis Winston is going to do in a preseason game that is going to change your opinion of Jameis Winston.
That couldn't be more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He's a known quantity.
I think Tyler Huntley was okay. I want him to be incredible, because he is a guy that other teams are going to be looking at if they have an issue at quarterback here during training camp, during the preseason games, early in the season. And hopefully it happens in training camp, so that if you need a quarterback, Tyler Huntley is a guy that you go out and you decide, we're going to give up a fifth-round pick, we're going to give up a sixth, seventh, we're going to trade a position, whatever. He's a guy that I think the Browns are going to pedal before they get to the start of the season.
But he's another one of those guys that's a known quantity. We have seen enough Tyler Huntley to know exactly what he is. The passing game is a little erratic. He's great with his legs. He can make a couple of big throws and all that stuff, but it is an ugly style of football that Tyler Huntley plays when he is behind center.
However, that was all in Baltimore. If he looks good in a different uniform, even in preseason games, might add to his resume just a little bit.
Yeah.
and make him a guy that teams might go after. You know, and there are other quarterbacks, for instance, in Dallas right now. They have Cooper Rush, who's been the longtime backup to Dak Prescott. He didn't play much in the preseason game. Trey Lance did. He threw over 40 passes. And so if a team's going to be looking for a guy, would you want to trade for Tyler Huntley? Would you want to trade for Trey Lance? You know, something like that.
Well, and I think we'll be in a position where both of those guys, because we all know how preseason goes. There's going to be injuries. I'm just going to forewarn everybody now. Within the next 2 weeks, some big-name quarterback is going to go down. It happens every year. Or some decent-name backup quarterback is going to go down. It happens every year. And we're going to have a 24-hour cycle on our stations where all of us are going, preseason games are meaningless. These guys are getting hurt. The NFL's trying to protect quarterbacks. They know that quarterbacks are what butters their bread. All of those things that could be said when it comes to quarterback play, that I think no matter what Tyler Huntley does, he's going to find himself in a position the same way that Josh Dobbs did last year, where the Browns could make a move and get another draft pick for him. That's what I mean by the known quantity part. And maybe that draft pick, okay, that goes from a sixth to a fifth rounder, but he's kind of the known quantity in that regard. And I think you're 100% right in saying that guy is here because the Browns think that they can move him somewhere else.
I don't think they plan to play him.
I don't think so either.
And if DTR hadn't been drafted last year and played a little bit and has looked good in preseason games for the Browns, to the extent that they think he might be a guy they can develop as their third quarterback, if they didn't have that, okay, I could see Tyler Huntley staying here. I think he's going to be on some other team. It's just a matter of what might the Browns be able to get in return.
Absolutely. I think you're 100% right. It's just a matter, when it comes to Tyler Huntley, where it's going to go, what it's going to look like, because we all know how this goes, and it stinks. But we know it's coming.
Did you see anything defensively that made you think this is anything that we might be able to take and think about this team from a regular season standpoint? I didn't myself.
So I got one thing and one thing only. And feel free to yell at me at CLE Talking Heads about what I'm about to say when it comes to the defense. I will take all of your hate that direction. The way that the Packers were able to run around the outside, you know, kind of do their end arounds, bring the, you know, even running quarterback, all that kind of stuff, and the way that they were able to gain yards around the outside, to me, is a little bit of an eye-opener. And I'm not just saying it because the, you know, the starters were able to do it for the Packers. I'm saying it because the second string and the third string were able to get yards around the outsides on this offense or on this defense, which is something they struggled a little bit with during the regular season. Remember when Russell Wilson was able to carve them up a little bit running around the outside? Same way the Texans were able to carve them up a little bit, making their way to the outside. So I wonder if that's a scheme thing that Jim Schwartz needs to look at and take a in something, or we just throw our hands up in the air and go, ah, preseason. You know, it'll be fine when you get the fast players out there instead of the guys that are trying to make the roster, and you get the guys out who have already made the roster. But that's the one thing that stood out to me.
I can't buy into that. And the only reason I can't buy into it is this. They're not going to run anything that can go on tape that any other team is going to be able to dissect about the defense. That's the only thing. If it's an issue, and if it shows up in week one against Dallas, okay, then it's an issue. I just think that what they're trying to do defensively right now is show nothing.
Could be.
Maybe. Might just be
that simple. And I'm willing to admit that that is the case. But that was the one thing that stood out to me. And Gerard Cherry did a really good job pointing that out on the Browns Radio Network. He was saying it the whole way. He's like, that outside. And he was like, that outside is hustle. That outside is, you know, a lot of those things. I kind of wonder if it's also a scheme thing that could maybe be tinkered with. But, like, again, we could also throw our hands up and go, well, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah wasn't there. And that guy's ridiculously fast. And he goes sideline to sideline, and he shuts that kind of stuff down. Or, you know, Jordan Hicks wasn't out there, who is going to be the new version of Anthony Walker, who's another guy that can go sideline to sideline and shut that down. So it could just be that simple. But that was the one thing that stood out to me is, boy, they really attacked that outside on the run game.
The one issue in the game, the biggest takeaway, unfortunately, is an injury to Luke Whippler. And he was your backup center. And he also could play a little guard. So you've lost depth there on your offensive line. And the Browns have gone out and made a move already to take care of that. They brought back Nick Harris. If you're Nick Harris, folks, what are you thinking here? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the stadium situation coming up. It's a basket of Phelps right here on The Fan. Don't forget Kevin Stefanski's press conference, 1 o'clock hour, right around 1:30. We'll hear it right here on 92.3 The Fan.
West side of Cleveland. I am from the west side as well. We have power. We have power. Just a quick second. Thank you to, you know, everybody who was involved. They brought in, or DeWine called a state of emergency. They brought in, I think I read, electric trucks from, I think, 11 different states. It might even be higher than that, 14 different states that all came in here to get Northeast Ohio back on the grid, get everybody as much power as possible. If you are still without power, trust me, they're working on it. They're working their butts off right now. And thank you to everybody, to all the electricians, not only from the state of Ohio, not only from Northeast Ohio and the Cleveland area, but from all around the country. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for getting us back to as close of real life as we can get, or the life at least we've come to know.
It's a tough thing when you lose power. You know, you're not, we take it so for granted. And, you know, just think about everything in our entire society. You want to mess with society, you take away the power. And goodness gracious, people who have been tolerating it, dealing with it, having to deal with it, hang in there if you don't have your power. And for those guys and gals who are working to repair it, thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Well, and it's one of those, like, when your power goes out, you're like, okay, power's out. And you kind of think to yourself, how do I move this? How do I work things around? You know, keep the fridge shut, keep the freezer shut, don't touch anything, so then that way the seal stays. And, like, for 24 hours, you're kind of like, okay, we're just camping. You know, this is fun. We're camping. It's a little bit different. And then it turns into 48 hours. And then it turns into 72 hours. And, like, the fun of camping wears off. You know, like, that's the part of it that gets really obnoxious. And then it starts turning into, oh, gosh, what do I do with my food? Or is everything starting to thaw? Do I need to throw things out? Are we worried about getting sick? Like, that's the stuff where it starts getting nasty, not having power. Like, and maybe it was just me, I was okay not having internet. I was okay not having TV. You know, I had a battery-powered radio that helped keep sanity because it felt like I could find the outside world. And, like, the part that does you in is you're like, oh gosh, what do I do with all this food? I'm throwing money away. You know, we're all Midwesterners. We understand. We're, you know, the same group of people who look at Cool Whip containers and go, yes, I have Tupperware. Perfect. You know, so throwing food away in that is the worst thing we all want to do. So thank you to everybody for getting it going. And hopefully the entire state has power shortly.
Absolutely. And we'll see how that goes. But it was strange. We're not used to, what, 4 tornadoes? In town all at the same time. And that's exactly what we had. So I'm glad for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. And then you were fine, right? You ended up.
We lost power for a couple of hours, but we were very fortunate. So that was good. I'll be honest. I've always wanted to buy a generator and, you know, like have a generator system. Except, okay, well, just deal with it. You know what I mean?
We always had to. And I was reading a piece out of the, I think it was the Weather Channel, that was saying that we might run into more and more of these, sadly, because Tornado Alley has moved from where it, you know, it's starting to move east a little bit. So now we're actually somewhat in the path of Tornado Alley. And so it said, and that's according to Weather Channel. So everybody be careful out there. And, you know, it, sadly, this might become more and more of a thing. Hopefully it isn't.
Led to more harsh weather. At least that's what everybody seems to think.
Hopefully that isn't, but boy, if that's true, if the Weather Channel saying the Tornado Alley's moved, maybe that generator isn't the worst.
Yeah, and just keep this in mind. We don't have to deal with it here until it's the aftermath. Hurricane season is starting.
So yeah, you're right.
Get ready for that.
Get all the rain.
Yeah, having lived on the Gulf Coast in Texas, I was oblivious to hurricanes, having grown up here in Northeast Ohio, and even hurricane thoughts never really dawned on me. And then I moved down there and it's like, wait a minute, a hurricane is where? And it's coming where? And there's nowhere to go? Okay, great. This is going to work out really well. That's the thing. When you live in hurricane country, it's like the only way in, you know, working in what I worked in,
so
I couldn't leave town. So it's like, okay, so I just what? I sit here and take this?
Batten down the hatches?
Yes, that's exactly what you do.
Batten down the hatches, so get a raincoat.
That's what we had.
Yeah.
The bad thing about the Browns preseason game against the Packers, it wasn't the loss, but it was the loss of Luke Whipler, a season-ending, we assume, injury.
Such a bummer.
Yeah, and he's going to have ankle surgery. And you could see he just, it was after the play even, you know, he got rolled up on, and that's what happens with offensive and defensive linemen all the time. They're right there in close quarters with each other, and they get rolled up on, and who knows the extent of the injury, but surgery needed, you would assume a fracture, and then chances are he's gone for the year. They decided to keep Whipler, and they drafted Whipler, and they let Nick Harris leave in free agency. And, you know, I wished him well, I'm sure. And he goes to Seattle, which if you're Nick Harris, you think, wait a minute. I'm from California. I went to college in Seattle at the University of Washington, and I get to go back and play for the Seahawks. Okay, this is great.
I know.
And now it gets traded back to the Browns.
Well, so the plus side is at least you've been here for a little bit, so you know the neighborhoods. You kind of know where all the good restaurants are. It's not like you're being sent to somewhere you've never been before. You're being sent back to somewhere you know, and you know most of the terminology, you know most of the ideas. Like it's a move that made sense for the Browns to go find somebody who understands what's going on, because you could get them up to speed quickly. Because while yes, they are overhauling this offense, I'm assuming they're keeping the terminology relatively similar, just because you have so many guys who have been here for so long.
I would think that it would be best for Ken Dorsey to change his terminology rather than an entire team change the terminology.
Right.
Seahawks had determined that Nick Harris wasn't going to be their starter at center and might not have even been their backup. And they signed just 5 days ago former Cowboy and Dolphin starting center Connor Williams. And then they have another guy who, Oluwatimi.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Perfect.
And he was competing. He was a fifth-round pick last year for Seattle. and he was competing with Nick Harris, and apparently they've decided he's going to be the backup or was even going to be the starter until they signed Connor Williams. So Nick was looking at being the third center in Seattle. What happens to third centers? They get cut and then maybe signed somewhere else or signed to a practice squad.
Well, and especially a third center who isn't, you know, I don't remember Nick Harris playing a whole lot of guard or being able to swing around
he,
where
he
they
can,
need
him. And remember last year he played fullback.
That's right.
Remember?
That's right. That's right. Thank you.
So that was kind of cool. Here, he'll be the backup center to Ethan Posick. And remember, Ethan Posick came from Seattle back in the day when Nick Harris got injured in the preseason. So now Nick comes back to Cleveland because the guy who replaced him got hurt in the preseason.
It's an awe.
And now he'll be backing up Posick like he was, even though Posick was originally brought in to be Nick Harris's backup.
It's an offensive line pipeline.
It kind of is.
Shipping back and forth. Well, and Seattle's in a, you know, they're overhauling their offense, you know, with new, you know, with their new head coach, the former DC of the Baltimore Ravens finding his way over there, Mike McDonald. He's finding his way over there. They brought in a new OC as well. They're overhauling all of that stuff. So you can kind of see where all of those pieces together. So it's good to have a familiar name in here, a familiar face. You're right on the fullback thing. That brings a wrinkle in of why they would probably want to do it. They didn't give up a whole lot for it. And boy, as we learned last year, and did we learn it well, Jeff, when you think you got enough offensive linemen, go get more. Because, I mean, thank you, Gerard Christian. Guy we all had never heard of until all of a sudden starting at left tackle.
Didn't
for
he
you.
Step in and do a nice job?
Yeah. He was, for being the sixth string left tackle, he was fine, which for a sixth string left tackle is great. You know, you're grading on a curve when you get that far down the depth chart.
Yep. That's absolutely the case. And it's telling the way the Browns think about that offensive line position that Whipler gets hurt on Saturday, and on Sunday they have a new center. I mean, they wasted no time at all. And, you know, they were well aware of what was going on in Seattle with Connor Williams getting signed there. And they were well aware that Nick Harris was looking like the odd man out, and he would soon, I would think, at least on cut down day, maybe be cut down, and then there'd be real competition for him. Well, there's no competition now. He steps in and he's on your offensive line.
He's the guy. Buckle in.
So right now, according to most depth charts, let's just go with last year's starters: Jed Wills, Joel Bitonio, Ethan Posick, Wyatt Teller, Jack Conklin. And then your backups: James Hudson, who's been here a little while now; Michael Dunn, who resigned here and has been here numerous times and is kind of like Nick Harris. Michael, thank you. Oh, wait a minute. We need you again. Come on back.
Come on back, bud. We need you.
Nick, thank you. We need you again. Come on back. Zach Zinter, who they drafted. DeJuan Jones, who they drafted last year. I mean, there are 10 guys right there who you think, okay, those are 10 solid guys. And then you have Hakeem Adeniji, who you brought in as a free agent who has some experience in the league. There's 11 guys who you think, okay, We've got some depth there, and I would think that's a big deal. You even have Jermaine Ifedi, who was a first round pick by Seattle, and he's playing tackle right now. He's 30. He's got some experience. I mean, they have an abundance of offensive linemen to the point where the Browns might be a team that receives phone calls from other teams looking for depth on the offensive line.
Don't do it. If last year has taught you anything,
but you're not going to keep 12. You're not going to keep 12 guys,
right? You'll end up cutting a good chunk of them. But
maybe before cutdowns, you trade some of these guys to a team that doesn't want to do what the Browns wanted to. You know, the Browns wanted to clear it up. Boom, let's lock it in now. And they did with Nick Harris. Maybe another team will want to do that, and they call about Adeniji or Ifedi.
Ifedi, I could easily see finding himself elsewhere because that guy's been a journeyman his entire career.
Which, by the way, is not a bad way to make a living.
Oh, gosh, no. But, like, do not use this as an opportunity. Like I know a lot of people and Browns fans around here have a lot of Jedrick Wills problems, you know. And
yeah,
he's been good, or he's fine to good, you would say. Part of it is the fact that, yes.
Fine to good. Dan saying fine is Dan's way of saying, he's not really that good. Doesn't do a whole lot for me. He's been fine.
Yeah. You're about right.
Yes, I know I am on that one.
Sub-mediocre is how I would call fine.
He doesn't stink. He's all right.
You can live with it.
I think Jedrick's better than fine.
Yeah.
I do.
There's just, some stuff.
He's not Joe Thomas, and he's not a Pro Bowl caliber left tackle.
Correct.
Yet. Maybe correct. He will be one day.
And you know with these offensive linemen, sometimes somebody gets through to him, it clicks in, and all of a sudden, mm-hmm. boom, here you go. So you could easily see that change when it comes there. You know DeJuan Jones is waiting in the wings. And did you, on a slight side note, but hang with me, did you see him tell Aditi Kinkabwala he may have grown another inch or two in
all
the
offseason? All I know is he's huge.
That dude is gargantuan, and he's getting bigger.
And he has good feet.
He really does.
That's the thing about him. Guys that size aren't supposed to move that way, and he has pretty good feet.
West side of Cleveland. I am from the west side as well. We have power. We have power. Just a quick second. Thank you to, you know, everybody who was involved. They brought in, or DeWine called a state of emergency. They brought in, I think I read, electric trucks from, I think, 11 different states. It might even be higher than that, 14 different states that all came in here to get Northeast Ohio back on the grid, get everybody as much power as possible. If you are still without power, trust me, they're working on it. They're working their butts off right now. And thank you to everybody, to all the electricians, not only from the state of Ohio, not only from Northeast Ohio and the Cleveland area, but from all around the country. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for getting us back to as close of real life as we can get, or the life at least we've come to know.
It's a tough thing when you lose power. You know, you're not, we take it so for granted. And, you know, just think about everything in our entire society. You want to mess with society, you take away the power. And goodness gracious, people who have been tolerating it, dealing with it, having to deal with it, hang in there if you don't have your power. And for those guys and gals who are working to repair it, thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Well, and it's one of those, like, when your power goes out, you're like, okay, power's out. And you kind of think to yourself, how do I move this? How do I work things around? You know, keep the fridge shut, keep the freezer shut, don't touch anything, so then that way the seal stays. And like for 24 hours, you're kind of like, okay, we're just camping. You know, this is fun. We're camping. It's a little bit different. And then it turns into 48 hours. And then it turns into 72 hours. And like the fun of camping wears off. You know, like that's the part of it that gets really obnoxious. And then it starts turning into, oh gosh, what do I do with my food? Or is everything starting to thaw? Do I need to throw things out? Are we worried about getting sick? Like that's the stuff where it starts getting nasty, not having power. Like, and maybe it was just me. I was okay not having internet. I was okay not having TV. You know, I had a battery-powered radio that helped keep sanity because it felt like I could find the outside world. And, like, the part that does you in is you're like, oh, gosh, what do I do with all this food? I'm throwing money away. You know, we're all Midwesterners. We understand. We're, you know, the same group of people who look at Cool Whip containers and go, yes, I have Tupperware. Perfect. You know, so throwing food away in that is the worst thing we all want to do. So thank you to everybody for getting it going, and hopefully the entire state has power shortly.
Absolutely, and we'll see how that goes, but it was strange. We're not used to, what, four tornadoes in town all at the same time? And that's exactly what we had. So I'm glad for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. And then you were fine, right? You ended up
we lost power for a couple of hours, but we were very fortunate, so that was good. I'll be honest. I've always wanted to buy a generator and, you know, like have a generator system, except, okay, well, just deal with it. You know what I mean?
We always had to. And I was reading a piece out of the Weather Channel that was saying that we might run into more and more of these, sadly, because Tornado Alley has moved from where it, you know, it's starting to move east a little bit. So now we're actually somewhat in the path of Tornado Alley. And so it said, and that's according to Weather Channel. So everybody be careful out there. And you know, sadly, this might become more and more of a thing. Hopefully it isn't.
Led to more harsh weather. At least that's what everybody seems to think.
Hopefully that isn't. But boy, if that's true, if the Weather Channel saying the Tornado Alley's moved, maybe that generator isn't the worst.
Yeah, and just keep this in mind. We don't have to deal with it here until it's the aftermath. hurricane season is starting.
So yeah, you're right.
Get ready for that.
Get all the rain.
Yeah, having lived on the Gulf Coast in Texas, I was oblivious to hurricanes, having grown up here in Northeast Ohio, and even hurricane thoughts never really dawned on me. And then I moved down there, and it's like, wait a minute, a hurricane is where? And it's coming where? And there's nowhere to go? Okay, great. This is going to work out really well. That's the thing. When you live in hurricane country, it's like the only way in, you know, working what I worked in, I couldn't leave town. So it's like, okay, so I just what? I sit here and take this?
Batten down the
hatches?
Yes,
that's exactly what you do.
Batten down the hatches, so get a raincoat.
That's what we had.
Yeah.
The bad thing about the Browns preseason game against the Packers, it wasn't the loss, but it was the loss of Luke Whipler, a season-ending, we assume, injury.
Such a bummer.
Yeah, and he's going to have ankle surgery. And you could see it was after the play even. You know, he got rolled up on, and that's what happens with offensive and defensive linemen all the time. They're right there in close quarters with each other, and they get rolled up on, and who knows the extent of the injury, but surgery needed. You would assume a fracture, and then chances are he's gone for the year. They decided to keep Whipler, and they drafted Whipler, mm-hmm. and they let Nick Harris leave in free agency. And, you know, I wished him well, I'm sure. And he goes to Seattle, which if you're Nick Harris, you think, wait a minute, I'm from California. I went to college in Seattle at the University of Washington, and I get to go back and play for the Seahawks. Okay, this is great. And now he gets traded back to the Browns.
Well, so the plus side is, at least you've been here for a little bit, so you know the neighborhoods, you kind of know where all the good restaurants are. It's not like you're being sent to somewhere you've never been before. You're being sent back to somewhere you know. And you know most of the terminology, you know most of the ideas. Like, it's a move that made sense for the Browns to go find somebody who understands what's going on, because you could get them up to speed quickly. Because while, yes, they are overhauling this offense, I'm assuming they're keeping the terminology relatively similar, just because you have so many guys who have been here for so long.
I would think that it would be best for Ken Dorsey to change his terminology rather than an entire team change the terminology.
Right.
Seahawks had determined that Nick Harris wasn't going to be their starter at center, and might not have even been their backup. And they signed just 5 days ago former Cowboy and Dolphin starting center Connor Williams. And then they have another guy who, Oluwatimi.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Perfect.
And he was competing. He was a fifth-round pick last year for Seattle. And he was competing with Nick Harris. And apparently they've decided he's going to be the backup, or was even going to be the starter until they signed Connor Williams. So Nick was looking at being the third center in Seattle. What happens to third centers? They get cut and then maybe signed somewhere else or signed to a practice squad.
Well, and especially a third center who isn't, you know, I don't remember Nick Harris playing a whole lot of guard or being able to swing around.
He can. And remember last year he played fullback.
That's right.
Remember?
That's right. That's right. Thank you.
So that was kind of cool. Here he'll be the backup center to Ethan Posick. And remember, Ethan Posick came from Seattle. Back in the day when Nick Harris got injured in the preseason. So now Nick comes back to Cleveland because the guy who replaced him got hurt in the preseason. And now he'll be backing up Posick like he was, even though Posick was originally brought in to be Nick Harris's backup.
It's an offensive line pipeline.
It kind of is.
Shipping back and forth. Well, and Seattle's in a, you know, they're overhauling their offense, you know, with new, you know, with their new head coach, the former DC of the Baltimore Ravens, finding his way over there, Mike McDonald. He's finding his way over there. They brought in a new OC as well. They're overhauling all of that stuff. So you can kind of see where all of this pieces together. So it's good to have a familiar name in here, a familiar face. You're right on the fullback thing. That brings a wrinkle in of why they would probably want to do it. They didn't give up a whole lot for it. And boy, as we learned last year, and did we learn it well, Jeff, when you think you got enough offensive linemen, go get more. Because, I mean, thank you, Gerard Christian. Guy we all had never heard of until all of a sudden starting at left tackle
for
you.
Didn't he step in and do a nice job?
Yeah. He was, for being the sixth string left tackle, he was fine, which for a sixth string left tackle is great. You know, you're grading on a curve when you get that far down the depth chart.
Yep. That's absolutely the case. And it's telling the way the Browns think about that offensive line position that Whipler gets hurt on Saturday, and on Sunday they have a new center. I mean, they wasted no time at all. And, you know, they were well aware of what was going on in Seattle with Connor Williams getting signed there. And they were well aware that Nick Harris was looking like the odd man out, and he would soon, I would think, at least on cut down day, maybe be cut down, and then there'd be real competition for him. Well, there's no competition now. He steps in, and he's on your offensive line.
He's the guy. Buckle in.
So right now, according to most depth charts, let's just go with last year's starters, Jed Wills, Joel Bitonio, Ethan Posick, Wyatt Teller, Jack Conklin. And then your backups, James Hudson, who's been here a little while now, Michael Dunn, who resigned here and has been here numerous times and is kind of like Nick Harris. Michael, thank you. Oh, wait a minute. We need you again. Come on back.
Come on back, bud. We need you.
Nick, thank you. We need you again. Come on back. Zach Zinter, who they drafted. DeJuan Jones, who they drafted last year. I mean, there are 10 guys right there who you think, okay, those are 10 solid guys. And then you have Hakeem Adeniji, who you brought in as a free agent who has some experience in the league. There's 11 guys who you think, okay, we've got some depth there. And I would think that's a big deal. You even have Jermaine Ifedi, who was a first-round pick by Seattle. And he's playing tackle right now. He's 30. He's got some experience. I mean, they have an abundance of offensive linemen to the point where the Browns might be a team that receives phone calls from other teams looking for depth on the offensive line.
Don't do it. If last year has taught you
but
anything,
you're not
going to
keep 12. You're not going to keep 12 guys.
Right. You'll end up cutting a good chunk of them. But
maybe before cutdowns, you trade some of these guys to a team that doesn't want to do what the Browns wanted to. You know, the Browns wanted to clear it up. Boom, let's lock it in now. And they did with Nick Harris. Maybe another team will want to do that. And they call about Adeniji or Ifedi.
Ifedi, I could easily see finding himself elsewhere because that guy's been a journeyman his entire career.
Which, by the way, is not a bad way to make a living.
Oh, gosh, no. Do not use this as an opportunity. Like I know a lot of people and Browns fans around here have a lot of Jedrick Wills problems, you know, and
yeah,
he's been good, or he's fine to good, you would say. Part of it is the fact that, yes.
Fine to good. Dan saying fine is Dan's way of saying, he's not really that good. Doesn't do a whole lot for me. He's been fine.
Yeah, that's, you're about right.
Yes, I know I am on that one.
Sub-mediocre is how I would call fine.
He doesn't stink. He's all right.
You can live with it.
I think Jedrick's better than fine.
Yeah.
I do.
There's just, some stuff.
He's not Joe Thomas, and he's not a Pro Bowl caliber left tackle.
Correct.
Yet. Maybe he will be one day.
And you know, with these offensive linemen, sometimes somebody gets through to him, it clicks in, and all of a sudden, boom, here you go. So you could easily see that change when it comes there. You know, DeJuan Jones is waiting in the wings. And did you... on a slight side note, but hang with me. Did you see him tell Aditi Kinkabwala he may have grown another inch or two in
all
the offseason?
All I know is he's huge.
That dude is gargantuan, and he's getting bigger.
And he has good feet.
He really does.
That's the thing about him. Guys that size aren't supposed to move that way, and he has pretty good feet. I don't... This is not about Jedrick Wills, okay? I would love to see DeJuan Jones at left tackle. Because with that body, that size, and those feet, man, he could become a Pro Bowl left tackle.
Dude's a monster.
He
Getting
is.
Getting around him is going to be a bear.
And he seemed like he had an epiphany last year. When early on it was like, boy, this guy looks, and from everything we were told.
Looks raw.
Incredibly unprepared to play offensive line in the NFL and completely unprepared attitude-wise to put the effort in that it's going to take to play offensive line in the NFL, and then something changed, and he became terrific.
It may have been as easy as Bill Callahan getting in his face and going, but here are the things you got to do if you want to be great.
Yep.
So we'll see. But yeah,
Credit to the Browns. You dealt with an injury very, very quickly. You brought in a guy who's going to have very, very little ramp-up period. So that's good. Nick Harris, welcome back to Cleveland.
Hopefully that's the end of it.
Hope you weren't giddy to be back in Seattle because you're not there now. All right, we're going to have to get into it, so we're going to do it next. Politicians getting involved more so in the stadium. Can't this city just agree on anything when it comes to a stadium for the football team on the lake, not on the lake? Why is this such an issue? We have thoughts. If you have thoughts, 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps with Menigan in for Andy.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.